into teams of warriors, gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to the first Golden Point of 2017. We're back with another season. This year we're joined by a new member of the team, Drew. Hello.
Hello, thanks for having me on the show.
All right, everyone give him a warm welcome this week on Twitter and whatnot. So, we're going to run through a few segments, a few new ones, a few returning ones. We're going to just get straight into it with a new game. We don't really have a name for it yet, but let's just go with jersey number. It sounds pretty good, I think. Yeah. So, how it's going to... Well, we'll have a discussion off air about that, I think. So, what's going to happen is I'm going to read out a team and a number. And Drew and Mac here... They're going to have to try and buzz in and say which player is on that number. So I'm going off the team list from the week just gone, the round just gone. So yeah, you and both understand.
I think you might have me covered here, Mac.
I don't know. Yeah. The buzz is just our name.
Just your name.
Yeah. All right, yep. Sweet.
Mac and Drew. So once you guess, you're out. If you get it wrong, if you get it right, you get a point. So first to five.
All right.
Okay. Hopefully everyone at home understands. I'm sure we'll get it in a few weeks. So I hope you have. I hope you all haven't been reading my list that I just left on the table there. Pretty messy writing, anyway. All
right.
All right, you guys ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Warriors number 9.
Drew.
Yep.
Isaac Luke.
Correct. Yeah. 1-0 to Drew. Uh-huh. Knights number 6.
Drew.
Oh.
That's Drew again.
I didn't even say Matt.
His last name's Lamb.
Ooh, he doesn't necessarily know the answer. I'd say in the future, maybe don't give away the last name in case you get it wrong.
Yeah, I am.
I'm thinking G Lamb. Does that count?
That does not count.
Well, so you know.
His name is Brock Lamb.
There we go. Brock. One all. There we go. Okay. Manly number 13.
Oh, Mac, that's my name.
Yes.
Drake Roig.
Correct. That is 2-1 to Mac. This one might be a little bit more of a tricky one. Parramatta 17. There is a reason it's on there.
I'm sure I don't think of any Parramatta players.
I'd say just have a guess.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody Drew. Made it. Yep, Drew said it.
Manu Ma.
Nope, incorrect.
All right, Mac. Is it Kayser Pritchard's the 9? I don't know.
All right, you were so close. Welcome back to the league, Cranky Frankie Frank Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone's favourite Pritchard. Okay, so it stays at 2-1 to Mac. Sharks number 8.
Drew.
Yep, true.
Oh,
3, 2, 1.
No.
Nope.
All right, Mac. I'm going to guess Matt Pryor.
Incorrect. Andrew Fifita.
Oh, big
all right.
Of course. I was thinking Matt Pryor.
Moving right along. Still 2-1. Brisbane, number 2.
Mac.
Yep.
Corey Oates.
Correct. That is 3-1 to Mac. Bulldogs, number 12.
Drew.
Yep.
Greg Eastwood.
Correct. Coming back. 3-2. Storm number 10.
Drew. Yeah, that was Drew.
Let me adjudicate that. That was Drew. Got the full name out first, so I'm going to give it to Drew there.
Jesse Bromwich?
Incorrect.
Jordan McLean?
Incorrect. Okay, that is 4-2. So, match point here.
Come on.
The first round ever of jersey number. South's number 6.
Mac.
Yep.
Oh no. Cody Walker.
Correct.
Yes.
Nice.
And Mac takes it. The lead. 1-0. All right. Yeah. That's jersey number. That was good fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
You guys didn't get too many wrong. Didn't embarrass yourself too much.
Yeah.
Frank Pritchard. Should
be
pretty,
Frank Pritchard.
Frank Pritchard's going to be. He's going to be disappointed with both of you when he listens to our podcast, which he does.
Of course. Yeah.
All right. That's jersey number done. So now we're going to move on to some more serious stuff. The most serious stuff there is. Predictions. So we've got a few to run through. We're going to start with premiers. Let's go to Drew.
Well, I couldn't really decide, but at gunpoint, I've decided to go for the Raiders.
Okay.
Just for the fact that I think they have a really good squad, and I think they'll build throughout the year. I don't think they're going to come out all guns blazing in the first few rounds, but I think they'll build towards the premiership.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yep. I think that's a good one. I went for the team that beat the Raiders, the Cowboys. I think they're...
The safe bet.
Yeah, I definitely did. Like, I think the Raiders are the popular bet, but the Cowboys really are the safe bet. They're just a complete team. They have so much depth. They really, they stand up in those big games as well. They're hard to look past, I think.
Yeah, solid team. I mean, you can't write off a team that has Jonathan Thurston in there, can you?
Yeah.
All right, I've gone someone that I said this before the round, but I'm going to stick to it, even though they really didn't show up on the weekend. The Panthers. They've just got a great team. They've got a great youthful team with the old head of Peter Wallace there, also leading them around. So I think they'll come good. First week was a write-off. I think maybe they came in too hard, a bit too confident, but I think they'll come good.
Yeah,
all right. So premiers done. Let's move to top four.
So I'm for the Raiders to finish as minor premiers. I think, as Drew was saying, they are a fantastic team this year, and I can see them getting really hot, particularly around that Origin period, because they have a few Englishmen there and stuff like that. So they'll gain a few extra points over teams there. Second place, I went Cowboys, and then the Storm, and then the unlikely ones, I went for the Roosters as number four. I think they have an underrated team this year, and I think their signings, Michael Gordon and Luke Keary in particular, they're going to actually turn that team around a bit. So
yeah, it was really good on the weekend.
Yeah,
fantastic on the weekend. All right, so that was Mac for those playing at home. Drewby?
Well, my top four has actually changed because of this weekend's games. I had a completely different one before the weekend.
1 week can sway you.
I put a bit of thought into it. So I'm thinking the Storm are going to take out the minor premiership for the sole reason that they are without a doubt the most consistent team in the competition. And I think that alone is going to get them the minor premiership, but not necessarily the premiership.
Okay.
And then you've got the Cowboys, the Roosters and the Raiders to take out the next three spots. The reason I have the Raiders and the Panthers at four and five on my list is because I think they have the most talent in the comp, but I also think that they have the ability to lose some matches. Like, unlike the Storm and the Cowboys, I think they're going to lose a couple of close matches throughout the season.
Yeah, they don't travel as well.
Yeah, it's...
All right, so my top four is pretty similar to yours there, Drew, and a little bit of Max as well. I've gone Panthers, Cowboys, Raiders, and Roosters. So Panthers, as I said, premiers... I think they will be number one at the end of the year as well. Right. Cowboys, like I said, hard to bet against a team with Jonathan Thurston. Raiders have just been looking better and better for the last few years. And yeah, I agree with you on the Roosters there. I think they are a little bit underrated, but they've got a really solid team. And I think Keary's going to be a great inclusion with, what's his name? The guy in the centres, Latrell Mitchell. He's just getting better and better.
Shame,
I mean, he's not 18 really anymore, but he's looking great.
I'm actually amazed you guys had the Roosters. I was like, oh, they're going to crucify me for this, but I had to put them in there.
Yeah. I didn't have them in my top eight before the start of the weekend, and then I watched them play, and I was like, oh, they actually have some really good talent in the team.
I had the Panthers there beforehand, and then I went,
The thing that amazes me about Latrell Mitchell is he looks skinny, and then he just bumps players off like they're flies.
He's elusive. He's very elusive.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so let's go to bottom four now. I'll get the ball rolling with this one. So... I've gone Titans, Dragons, Bulldogs, Newcastle. Now, that's not necessarily in order, but I think the Newcastle pick is a pretty obvious one. They look good this weekend, but I do think they'll probably struggle a bit there. I think the Dogs are in for a very lean year. I don't think much has changed with Des Hasler in control there. Dragons, they look good on the weekend, but I think that will kind of come apart. And the Titans, I think... It's tricky. I think we'll have quite a few teams battling both for a top eight spot and a bottom four spot. I think it's going to be very close there, as it has been for quite a number of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Drew? I've got the Dragons, Sharks, Knights, and Rabbitohs. And a bit of a curveball I've thrown in there is both the Sharks and the Rabbitohs. I don't think the Knights are going to get the wooden spoon this year.
Okay.
I think they're going to win... more games than the Rabbitohs.
With G Lim guiding them around the park, they're sure to do well.
This is my reasoning for it. I don't think the Rabbitohs are going to win a match until Adam Reynolds gets back. And that's, they're saying 4 weeks. I reckon it's going to be more like six.
I got the appendicitis expert over here. You got put in hospital 1 week.
I've had it twice.
You got told you had it, but you didn't have a surgery, so.
Let's not forget as well, GI out for pretty much the season.
GI out for the season. That's no huge. Adam Reynolds for the first four, I reckon, 6 weeks. I think that's going to be
almost had my appendix out twice now.
I think that's going to be 0-4-6 for the Rabbitohs, and then I think it's going to be hard for them to bounce back after that. The Knights are obviously just not that good, so I think they'll run 15th, but I think they'll surprise a few teams. And the Sharkies, I think they just spent too much passion and pride and energy last year in getting that title, and I just can't see them doing anything. And I think they're going to lose a lot of matches.
I actually have the Sharks in my bottom four as well.
Just going to quickly jump in before you give you mine. I completely forgot about the Rabbitohs. They're definitely Titans are back
up. Yeah, okay.
Titans in the top eight.
Actually, I might put the Titans in the top four. No, Rabbitohs bottom four. Titans are back up to fifth last.
Yeah, and Cody Walker, he's just not going to cut it in the halves.
Nah.
You know,
yeah.
Short term anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, he'll go to fullback now, surely, but still.
Yeah, but they've just got nothing. Who do they put in the half? Yeah. Like John Sutton?
Damien Cook, maybe. Farrah, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, God, I hope that. Oh, for their sake, I hope they answer that.
I hope they do.
Okay, so for mine, I had very similar to Drew's. I had Sharks, Seagulls, Rabbitohs, and Knights. So, not particularly in any order, as you said. I don't think the Knights will get the wooden spoon. I think it will be the Rabbitohs, probably.
Mm.
But, It's hard to pick.
The Knights look quite impressive today. Like, I know it was against the Warriors and stuff, but like they played a bit of razzle-dazzle and it came off, which was good to see.
I saw someone on Twitter say they played 22 good minutes of football today, and I think that's 22 minutes more than they played last year, so that's pretty impressive.
And I feel like as long as they have Ross Dog in the team, they're going to pick up a few wins.
Give us a like, Ross Dog. All right, so that was our bottom four and top four. Yeah. Let's move on to Dally M. Drewby, you want to kick us off with this one?
Oh, I actually didn't realise I had to
make
a Dally M prediction. How about Mac?
We did have a pre-game talk here.
That's okay.
Drew will be getting a $10,000 fine, just like Jared Hayne has.
Next week we'll have Greg on the podcast. No, okay, so I said James Tedesco. I think he's the star of that Tigers team. I think they'll win a few more as well, which always helps. And yeah, he's someone that people love. And he's going to... As long as he stays injury-free, that's the big question mark.
Yeah,
I think he's definitely the best fullback in the game when he's injury-free.
He was just amazing on the weekend. I was going to go a Tiger. I was actually thinking of Mitchell Moses. Mm. I think he's just in for a blinder of a year based on one game. but I've gone Sean Johnson. I just think he's an absolute superstar, that guy. Even today, when the Warriors weren't at their best, he just controls that team and controls every game that he's playing, and it's hard not to at least give him a point.
Mm.
So I think he'll fire. There's a different panel this year for the Dally M as well, and I think the Warriors normally get a bit slighted with the Dally M points, because I think there's a few Channel 9 boys club that don't give Johnson as many points as he should get, so I think they're out. Well, a few of them are out for this year, so I think Johnson will get a few more points than he normally gets. Drewby?
Well, I actually don't mind the Tedesco call. I think that's probably a pretty good one, but I will say if the Panthers manage to get into the top two, I think Moylan might get the Dally M.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of experts saying that as well, and I could see it, because he was probably the only player that was sort of trying really hard.
He tries hard, but it doesn't always come off.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I just don't. I just know, don't
if,
rate
if
him as
Tigers
high as
have a killer
say.
Year. Yeah. If the Tigers have a killer year, there's nothing saying Mitchell Moses and James Tedesco can't get a Dally M.
Yeah, no, absolutely, they both can. But like you said, the injuries, that's going to definitely play a part, I think, Tedesco. I think even if he has a good season, he's probably still going to miss a few games, because he doesn't play many games in a row.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so that's Dally M's done. Try scorer, top try scorer for the year. One of you guys can kick this one off.
All right. I went for it's probably a safe bet. Bevan French from Parramatta. I think playing at that fullback role, he's just someone that can score a lot. You know, if there's a tiny gap, he will speed through there, and he won't be caught once he gets in that position. So I could see him scoring quite a few doubles and hat-tricks throughout the year and going on to take that.
I think the only trouble with that is it's not normally a fullback that wins it. I don't know the last time it wasn't a winger. I mean, it might have been 2 years ago. Who knows? I don't follow it that closely. But it seems to always be wingers. But I agree. Bevan French
Stewart,
is just a...
Brett Stewart would have gone close a couple of years.
Yeah, probably. But it would have been a while ago. Yeah. No, I agree. Bevan French is an absolute superstar, though. He's got so much blistering speed.
It's crazy, yeah.
I've gone with someone that's not particularly in favour right now, but I think he's just an absolute gun. Sammy Radradra. I think he'll
okay.
I think he'll have a solid year. He's leaving at the end of the year. I think he's probably got some points to prove. Okay, I think Parra are in for a good season.
Where's he going at the end of the year?
He's off to rugby.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that was the talk.
Do
I'm pretty
you
sure. Do you actually like rugby league?
What's a rad ragger?
So we are actually hiring a new person for the podcast next week, because Mac doesn't know anything. No, I'm pretty sure he signed with Toulon or someone. Whoever steals all the rugby league players. It might not be a done deal, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
I'm going to go with Latrell Mitchell. Dude just knows how to find the line.
He's got three up already, so you know. It's
He was my second one written here. I'll just put that down, just so we can come back to that at the end of the year.
First, was he?
Doesn't matter. Second one there.
Two Parramatta players though, in discussion of the top try scorer. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, but I mean, look at the season they had last year. They did brilliantly. If it wasn't for all their off-field troubles.
Yeah, true.
All right, that is predictions done. Now we're going to have a quick recap of the week that's just gone. So we'll just go through each game, and if we have any particular talking points we want to bring up, then we can bring them up. So we'll start off. With today's matches, the Warriors and the Knights. The Warriors getting up 26-22. Knights having a bit of a fight back late, but the Warriors scoring and taking the game. What were your thoughts on that one?
I thought that it showed that the Warriors won't win the premiership this year. I know it's a big call round one, but
no,
I mean, it's just classic Warriors. You know, they do two really good things, and then they do two really bad things, and Sean Johnson played really well. I thought their forwards were quite good, but they just don't have that killer instinct that sides like the Cowboys and the Storm have, and they just don't have the defense to back up their attacking talent.
Yeah, I don't think they have the fundamentals down either. I think they are a great team with some great players, but they don't do everything right, which those other teams like the Storm and the Cowboys do. They just, everything is on point, the hit ups, everything like that. And the Warriors, they kind of just miss that. They miss that little bit of class on their play.
I think Foran can bring that though. I think
potentially.
But is he going to bring his troubles with him? That's the problem. How is he like mentally at the moment?
That's fair.
But on the flip side, the Knights showed a lot of fight, and I think that was great. I think maybe last year they obviously, they say sort of misery brings you together, so. They had plenty of it last year. They must be pretty close right now.
I feel like Nathan Brown's a pretty good coach, and I think in the next couple of years he's going to show that the Knights can turn into a really good team.
Yeah.
It won't be this year, though.
I've always liked him. I think I had them in my bottom four, but I think they could potentially be fourth last, not last. So, that would be an astronomical improvement off last year. They won one game, so...
I think they bought well as well.
Yeah.
Looking at the team. But yeah.
Absolutely. So then we had the Seagulls and the Eels. The Eels winning 20-12, putting a few points on them before the Seagulls had a little bit of a late fire back as well. What did we think of that one?
I found it a very boring game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I found it quite hard to watch. I don't particularly like either team, but they've got a lot of talented players and they just didn't look sharp at all.
Corey Norman looked amazing. I thought he was probably the only Eels player that really did look amazing, though. But he looked like he's going to have a stellar year.
To be fair, he hasn't looked bad for the last 3 years anyway. He's always been pretty good.
No, he hasn't at all. But it's just good to see that he's carrying it through because, the team needs him to stand up. They don't have four in there anymore. So they definitely need him to stand up in the halves. I thought the Seagulls looked pretty poor. I thought Blake Green and Cherry Evans were going to link together a bit better. It'll come, I'm sure. It's only round one, but I didn't think it was a great start by them. But Trudojevic looked good at fullback.
I think, what's his name? Clinton Gutherson, the 5'8 for the Eels as well. I think he's been a bit of a revelation being found there. There's someone that was a winger and everything beforehand. Yeah. He's come on, he's bound to provide that supporting role for Norman to do what he wants to do, which is great to see.
Yeah, no, I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do the Eels have two 5'8s or do they have a good halfback and an okay 5'8?
No, I thought that Norman showed today that he can play the halfback role quite well.
I'm just not sure he's ever going to be a premiership halfback, though. Maybe. Unless they get a really talented 5'8.
Gutherson's still young, and he's only had half a season at 5'8, so I think he'll come good.
One thing I did notice today is there's been so much talk about the Seagulls over the last two seasons, and I just don't think Trent Barrett is a very good coach. Because he's really not shown anything with the Seagulls.
Well, he's still green, very green.
He's still Blake Green, but. I just don't think he's ever shown anything with the Seagulls to prove that he's going to push them into world beaters.
Yeah,
He didn't have the best. I mean, he was at Panthers for a little while, I guess. But
he
yeah,
was a great assistant coach for the Panthers.
Yeah, he kind of just got thrust into that Manly spot, which is a hard spot to take.
Why
I mean,
you want to coach Manly?
Actually, never got rid of Jeff.
Look, Jeff, he's a legend, an absolute legend of Manly, a legend of the game. So it's a big role to take over.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to last night's game. We had the Titans and the Roosters. The Roosters winning 32-18, getting to a huge lead at the start of the game, and then the Titans showing a little bit of fight. A few people in the Twitter sphere and on Facebook I saw were commenting on Haynes' performance, saying it lacked a little bit of interest, a little bit of passion. I hear during the day as well that he got fined apparently $10,000 by the leadership group of the Titans because he put in a poor off season. Apparently wasn't. I don't know if he wasn't there or if he just wasn't trying his hardest during training. I'm not sure of the actual reasoning, but apparently, yeah, that's a big one.
This is one thing that bothers me about Hayne, because I don't know whether this is true or not, whether he, you know, wasn't trying at training and stuff.
Actually, just made it up.
Let's just assume that it is.
I didn't really.
Let's just assume that it's all true. He, like, all those reports when he went over to America was that he was training the house down. He cared so much. Like, all he ever did was train. And then he comes back to the NRL and he's putting in half-hearted efforts. It annoys me. Like, he's a professional football player.
But is it that he's gone over to America and thought, you know what, I'm only going to crack this if I give it 150%. So he's just tried so hard and he's done it and he has made it. He's played a few games, whatever. And then it's kind of fallen apart and he's come back to Australia and gone, well, okay, now I'm just going to go back to what I know. I'm kind of better than most of these games. I don't really need to try as hard as I did in America.
I also feel like he may have burned himself out a bit. You know, like he withstood so much criticism of being in the spotlight more than probably any other Australian, like when he was in the NFL. It was like Seven News and everything, just constantly the Jared Hayne watch, you know? And it's got to take a toll on you, both like mentally and physically in many ways. So I give him time. I think, you know, he'll still show those amazing plays. He scored that great try when they needed it, but... Yeah, looking at the stats, he ran for 90 metres, which for a fullback is quite low. And back in the Parramatta days, he would be touching the ball every set if they're behind by that, doing everything he can to get them in front. So,
yeah, I think the only upside to that, if you're a Titans fan or part of the Titans, is that they've got two young halves that are trying to control the team. So he's not going to touch the ball as much as he did in Parramatta days because Parramatta didn't necessarily have the best halves.
Yeah.
So Hayne had to stand up a bit more. So I don't know. It might also be a case of maybe that's just how Hayne is. He's such a natural talent that maybe he's never had to try that hard at training. It's a weird thing to say, but maybe that's just how he is because he makes everything look so effortless on the field.
It just confuses me watching him because he's supposed to be, well, not supposed to be, he is this fantastic athlete. He's incredibly fast and incredibly strong, but when he plays, he just looks very clunky. He just looks like he grabs the ball and he's going at 50%.
After he's come back.
Yeah, fair enough. And even, like, in that 2009 season when he set the world on fire, you know, he was incredibly fast. And then even just after that, like, he had moments where he wasn't that great for the Eels, but he always performed in State of Origin.
Yeah. Look, I think it would be pretty hard. I'm a fan of Hayne. I do like him, and I think he's still a fantastic signing for the Titans and one of the best players in the league. But it would have to be hard to go over to the National Football League, the biggest sporting competition in the world, and to crack it and play it, and then to have to come back to the NRL, which is still, you know, it's a big sporting league, but it's nothing on the scale of the NFL. It would be hard, I guess, being in that national spot. Like you said, he was the one everybody talked about on the news in Australia, every single person. And he was making international headlines. You know, it's somewhat of a fall from grace in a way. So maybe he just needs to readjust to it or something.
You've got to wonder what the impact of his ego is after his reputation's kind of been taken down a notch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two other notables from that game is Kevin Proctor getting injured.
Yes.
Quite a real heartbreak for the Titans, I think, because it sounds like it could be a long-term injury, but we'll wait and see. The other one was Daniel Tupou getting chased down by Tyrone Roberts. I thought that was amazing. He looked slow. Like, he took an intercept and just got chased down quite easily.
The old baby face has a bit of pace to him.
Apparently, yeah. Great game by him, by the way, playing hooker for the first time in his career, I think. Glad to see he got a spot on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I guess we didn't talk too much about the game, but Roosters looked fantastic. And the Titans, they did show fight, but they're going to really need to improve to stick it with the top teams this year, I think.
I think the combination of Kiri and Pierce is going to be great throughout the season.
Looked amazing. Kiri played fantastic. I thought he played better than I ever saw him play for the Rabbitohs. And he played great for the Rabbitohs at times, but he looked like he was in a whole other league last night.
He's been able to go to that James Maloney role, James Maloney played his best footy at the Roosters as well.
Well, he did win a premiership last year.
He won with the Roosters, didn't
he? Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, we'll move along to the other, the second game for the night was the Cowboys and the Raiders. So the Cowboys winning that one 20-16. Very close one. Yeah. First golden point.
Vossi had a heart attack.
Of the year.
Yes, yes.
Oh, we all know Vossi loves a golden point match. We had the Raiders denied a try in golden point, a forward pass. Bit dubious, but what do we think of that one?
I can't believe the ball bounced that way off that field goal. It made no sense. Like,
I got to say, in my many years watching rugby league, I've never seen that happen before.
There was a try last year in scoring golden point off a field goal attempt, but it was not off a crossbar
Hit that ball. It hit the crossbar so far.
It was amazing.
And it looked like it was just going to go flying out.
The thing that actually confused me the most, and no one's really talked about this, is the way Jonathan Thurston tried to kick that field goal. If that had gone over, that would have been one of the best field goals I've ever seen. He kicked it at the line. Straightforward at the line.
And in a way, that's the reason it worked, because it was such a flat field goal. Yeah. So it just hit the crossbar.
Crossbar challenge complete.
Yeah. But yeah.
Point win complete.
I mean, yeah, great to see a golden point in the first round of the season. Who doesn't love golden point, right? Exactly. Peter Sterling, you listening?
The golden point.
But I have to say... positives for the Raiders. They were underdone. They had a few players out. Obviously, the captain, Jerry Kruger, one of the biggest ones, missing. I think Ricky Stewart said today, only about 7 players that played last night played in the trial. So for a lot of those players, it was their first game of the year. And they started with the Cowboys, who were almost full strength and one of the favourites to take it out this year. So yeah,
definitely.
I think that could have been one of the games of the year already.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so also yesterday we had the first big shock of the year, huge shock of the year. The Dragons 42-10 over the Panthers.
Yeah,
give us that one, Matt.
that was like unexpected. I don't think anyone would have predicted that. The Dragons looked great, but the Panthers looked very ordinary. Just like I'm going to single someone out, Bryce Cartwright. Just in defense, he just fell off every tackle. He was offloading the ball at will, not really aimed at the player. I saw someone tweet 28-6 Cartwright versus the Panthers.
Yeah.
It was really just, it was all Cartwright.
They just saw him in the line and thought, that's where we can impregnate the line. Just right there.
And unfortunately, he didn't do anything about it this time.
He didn't have $50,000 in his pocket.
I gotta say, I was at the pub watching this game and I was curious whether there was something in the beer as I was watching it. I didn't quite believe the Dragons were up by so much, but they looked... The Dragons did what the Bulldogs should have done in the offseason. Paul McGregor's obviously said to his players, you're free to play a bit of off-the-cuff football if you want to. And they took that to heart, and they did that. Like, Dugan put that little grubber in behind the line, and, you know, Widdop was pretty good. He was probing all around the edges.
Best game Widdop's played since at least 2015.
Yeah, I think Benji's gone, and that's helped Widdop go back to his...
Ding Dong, the Witch is dead.
Exactly, Benji. Like, Josh McCrone was, you know, his half partner, and he just gave Widdop the freedom to sort of steer the team around. He didn't seem to have any sort of hindrance there.
So. But in his own right, he actually played a fantastic game as well. I thought he controlled quite well. And I've always actually liked McCrone. And he's played 150 odd games or something, so he's not like any rookie. He's got a lot of experience.
Definitely.
I also thought that the Panthers were just really bad.
I was expecting the whole game. I was watching it, the Dragons scored the first try. Okay, that's all right. You know, getting the shackles off, whatnot. Scored again, and I was thinking, okay, then Panthers, they're gonna turn it on at some point. It just never happened.
I think the Panthers had the same attitude. They were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. We'll get them. We're superstar team, you know, premiership favourites. We got this.
But also, you made the point earlier about Moylan, you know, kind of trying a lot. I thought he tried his hand too much. I thought he took the ball off Cleary and Martin too much. Okay. I thought Martin actually looked really good at the start of the game. He almost burst through the line quite a few times. I thought Moylan should just stay at the back a bit more, play that sort of Billy Slater role, come off the back of your halves and then slice through the line. He made that good play down the short side when they called it a forward pass. I think that's where he plays his best football, not playing as a half or as a first receiver or even second receiver.
Yeah, he's creating sort of broken play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wouldn't get too excited if I was Dragons fan. So no. I think that's very much just an anomaly in their season.
Their forward pack, though, was very impressive. Yeah. Joel Thompson, Jack DeBellum was amazing. And
the Bush Ranger.
Yeah, how crazy does he... There was
the guy that went from Tony Tanner
to... Better than a haircut than last year, wasn't it?
So much better. But yeah, he actually looks scary now. But
And just as a side note, Mitch Rain played a fantastic game in the Intrust Premiership. So Peter Wallace, what's your back?
Well, yeah, I actually think the Panthers could have used a bit of an impact player,
definitely the first upset of the year and a big, big one at that.
Mm,
so on Friday night, our second game on Friday night, we had the Rabbitohs and the West Tigers. West Tigers winning that one 34-18. They looked great, the West Tigers.
Yeah.
They were free of Robbie Farah, and it showed. Although not too free because he was on the other side of the field. what do we think of that one?
They're just so fast. They're easily the fastest team in the comp, and I think they're not that young anymore. Like all those young guys 5 years ago are slightly older now. But
5 years old.
Yeah. Tedesco is fantastic. The way he broke that tackle for that first try he scored. He just looks like he can't be touched, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That Mitchell Moses try, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That showed what the West Tigers can do.
Absolutely.
And that's scary for other teams.
And I think as long as everyone stays fit, and I know that's a big, if, because Tedesco's kind of made of glass sometimes, but as long as they can all stay fit and on the paddock, I think the West Tigers will be pushing that top four.
I think, so. Yeah, definitely. That young guy that had on the wing as well, Moses Sully, he looked really good.
That was his first game.
Yeah.
1.3 million?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something
huge
crazy.
Money.
So,
first touch, one of the first touches of his career, and he set up that try.
First
or second try.
He looks the goods, definitely. He came in for Jordan Rankin as well, who I've never really rated that highly. So.
Not as a winger.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's crazy to think when I was 18, I didn't have a job, and this guy has $1.3 million over 3 years or whatever it is.
That's what talent does, but... No, I thought West Tigers looked just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I thought they were actually the standout of the weekend. I know Dragons won by more and probably upset a more highly ranked team, but I thought the West Tigers they look so good right through the team.
So they didn't push their way into your top four or anything like that, though?
No, I think they'll be top eight. I'd be surprised if they're not. No, oh, look, I think they can push top eight. I'm not going to say I'll be surprised if they're not in the top eight, but I definitely think they've got the potential to get there. They will probably struggle through Origin period. I could see maybe a few of them. Aaron Woods will definitely be out.
Yeah,
And I think he's their leader. He really gets them that go forward that helps out guys like Moses. Also, just want to say best game from Mitchell from Luke Brooks that I've seen potentially
definitely.
Ever. He played amazing.
I've never seen Luke Brooks and Mitch Moses look that good at the same time.
Yeah,
before.
Very good point. Together, yeah,
great point. I think that game once again just demonstrated Robbie Farah was more of a hindrance. Was probably the problem at the time.
I think the only person that disagreed with that was Robbie Farah.
And there's one Tigers fan somewhere. Also, I was going to make some point, but you made me forget it by making that point. I'm just going to give myself a second to remember it. Nope.
What did you make of the Greg Inglis situation?
As in him being out?
Yeah.
So obviously, I guess that was the story of the weekend.
No, well,
just a dump.
No, but are you referring to the fact that people...
Why was he out
staying
there?
On? Yeah, they've come out today and said it was a misdiagnosed on the field, so it's not that they didn't know that he'd done it.
But the guy couldn't run.
Yeah. There's no point of him being out there. Absolutely no point.
It's definitely odd.
Yeah.
But
I think they put too much stock in Greg Inglis. That just shows, doesn't it? That they think, a 50% Greg Inglis is still better than 100% other player.
Yeah,
they did have, I can't remember who it was, one of their other outside backs who was out for the rest of the game.
Yeah, with
so that's the only other sort of fullback they have. But Madge, question and answer there, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
All right, we're done with that game.
I still
can't remember my other point. I'm sure it'll come to me at some point. Okay, so we had the other Friday night game was the Bulldogs and the Storm. A bit of a dour affair, I'll say. Pouring rain out there at Belmore. 12-6 to the Storm over the Dogs. What do we think? Mac, you can take this one first.
I wasn't overly impressed by either team, to be honest. From the Storm standpoint, I thought they were going to put about 30 on them, and then the Bulldogs were able to defend. Well, obviously the conditions don't help with that, but I didn't see the Storm as being a premiership threat from that game. With that being said, though, the Bulldogs were better than I thought they would be, but I was still a bit of a boring game overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest talking points for me was outside of the game, in the fact that there were 8,000 people at Belmore, and I know it was raining and it was pretty gross, but we're talking about diehard Doggies fans, and they couldn't make the game because it started while they were still out working.
Very good point.
And, I do think the time slot is the biggest talking point
of
this game.
It's such a bad idea. Like, no one wants to watch a game at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I know I knew someone who couldn't really see the kickoff for the game because they finished work early. And they couldn't really make the 6 o'clock kickoff, even though, you know, they tried and caught a bus and everything. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I get it. If the reason is that Fox Sports have done it to try and keep, you know, people watching their coverage from the first game to the second game, that makes sense. Great idea from Fox Sports. Terrible idea from the NRL. What the hell are they thinking?
You don't say yes to that. Like, it just shows how the NRL is dictated, though, by the TV ratings and.
Yeah.
Who pays the most money, you know?
It's exactly. Crazy. They it seems they value that immediate money over the long-term money. Mm. And the long-term money is things like fans turning up to games, fans being able to watch games, fans being able to support their teams. If fans can go to all their games, including these Friday night games, they'll be more likely to buy a membership, to buy a jersey, that kind of stuff. You know, obviously, you know, there's people in higher positions than us who obviously do these numbers and stuff, but I don't see any logical sense in playing a 6 o'clock Friday game.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine any sporting event in the world doing something like that.
From a game perspective, I thought the Bulldogs were very poor. And I know there's been a lot of people who have come out in the media and said things like, you know, the Bulldogs, you know, did well considering they were playing the Storm and considering it was wet conditions, but I didn't say it that way. I saw the same team from 2016 who are trying to pretend like they did something different, but they haven't. They look exactly the same. They look just as clunky. They can't do anything within 20 metres of the goal line. Like, they may as well just give the other team the ball and just try and tackle them down in their in goal. I thought it was pretty poor from the Bulldogs, like, especially for their fans, because, you know, their fans have suffered, you know, through last season and through the off season, thinking they were going to get something different, and the Dogs have come out and given them nothing.
Yeah, I thought Brinko Lee looked really good, though. I thought that was one of the shining spots for the Bulldogs. He looked great.
Yeah, him and Josh Reynolds seemed to have a little bit of a combination going on there, which I thought was nice. The only highlights I'll say from the game, because it was, I think it was definitely the worst game of the round. It was, Dragons and Panthers wasn't great for Panthers fans, but in terms of rugby league skill, it was definitely the lowest quality game.
Weather didn't help again, but yeah.
No, but, I mean, you love a wet game, but it was an ordinary affair. The only positives I'll say is that the Bulldog halves did touch the ball more than they did last year.
Absolutely.
Josh Reynolds had 69 touches of the ball, which is pretty outstanding. I thought he was definitely the Dogs' best player. He still made a few errors, but he was everywhere, absolutely everywhere, and 69 touches will show you that. Mabai just showed exactly what he showed us last year, that he's clearly not a half. And if he is a half, there's something Des Hasler's doing wrong, because he's not performing at all.
Yeah.
People think, for some reason, there was talk last year he might play for Australia. He played in the All-Stars this year. People have these real high raps on him. I don't know if they're actually watching Bulldogs games or not, but he does absolutely nothing.
The Bulldogs are just so scared that Mbaye is going to turn into the next Thurston if they let him go. But I can tell you right now, he is not Jonathan Thurston, and he never will be.
Well, let's put it on the table. They got rid of the New South Wales Origin winning halfback to sign this guy who'd done nothing. I'm a fan of the person Moses Mabai. He seems like a lovely guy and everything I've seen, interviews and stuff like that. But there's something that is holding him back, whether it's his position, his coach, I don't know. But he's not fit for this Bulldogs halfback spot. He's just not. We got rid of Trent Hodgkinson and we've signed this guy for, 3 or 4 years. So anyway, there's no secret to me being a passionate, annoyed Bulldogs fan on Twitter. Anyone that follows me on the air will know about it.
I don't know who said it. I think I saw someone on Twitter say it, but the Bulldogs have two fairly good 5/8s. They don't have a halfback. And I think that pretty much just sums it up.
I don't even think Moses Mabai is a good 5/8. I don't even agree with that. Look, I've said my personal opinion before on this podcast that he's not a half, I don't think. And again, I'll say that with an asterisk saying possibly he is and Des Hasler's doing something wrong.
And also asterisk, good guy.
bloke. Absolute top bloke. Come on the podcast whenever you want. No, but I think I'd love to see him play maybe half a season or so, at least at, say, hooker or fullback, possibly centre, bench utility. I know that seems like a relegation, but...
I've always
had a view that reserve utility is a bench utility is a spot that I think a lot of teams. Anyway, we'll just move on from that game because it's getting hot in here. Summer's gone, but we're still getting hot. All right, so the last game, which was the first game, the Premiers taking on 2015 Grand Finalists, which means nothing in the whole scheme of things. The Sharks and the Broncos. Broncos winning this one 26-18 to kick off the season.
Yeah, it's a good game. I thought, like, a great way to kick off the NRL again. It's just some. I'm trying to remember because it was all the way back to Thursday, but I do remember I enjoyed
all
it
all the way back to Thursday.
That is a lifetime.
Beers did you have this weekend, Mac?
I'll let you guys start off because I'm rambling.
All right, I'll have a good go at it. I thought it was a pretty low-key game. There was a few half-interesting tries scored, but it wasn't great. There was a few, I think they were kind of getting rid of some cobwebs there. I was glad I was at the pub because I didn't have to listen to general commentary. That's really the only positive I can think of from this game. Sharks were fairly disappointing. Broncos were good, but they didn't look so good that I think they're going to take out the premiership or anything like that. It was what it was. It was the first game of the season. We all kind of got our cobwebs off us, the off-season cobwebs, and got treated to a okay game of football.
Jaden Brayley stood out as someone that played very well. He
39 like, tackles, I
something
think.
Something like that, yeah. Which, I mean, tackles isn't everything, but I think he held his own with service from dummy half. And I think that was great to see. And, yeah, I think Gerard Beal as well actually had a couple of nice touches from the fullback. I'm not a fan of Beal, but he sort of proved me wrong a little bit.
See someone in a nightclub or something, did you?
This game was the reason I put the Sharks in my bottom four. I'll give them some benefit of the doubt and say it is the first game of the season, but they just look tired. They just look like a tired team. You know, obviously not physically, but just mentally.
Well, just to throw it out there, they did just play in England 6 days ago or whatever it was. So,
yeah, and maybe that might be it, but I was just watching them play and they just didn't. You know, they just didn't have that same zing to me that they did last year. And I think that's the reason they were playing a fresh brand of footy last year. Everything they were throwing around or doing was turning into gold. And I just can't see them doing it again.
Yeah.
I think just all the planets aligned for them last year, and I just don't think it's going to happen
anymore. I agree with you. I don't see them winning the premiership. No.
Did either of you see Tommy Radonjic's comments on
Tommy Radonjic's?
Yeah.
I thought he was the absolute highlight of the footy show on Thursday night.
The footy show retweeted me, and I just like said, I appreciate that footy show.
I tweeted about it during the week, but I do think that the Tommy Radonjic's needs either his own podcast. We'll have you on here. Tommy, don't mind it, but either his own podcast or his own TV show.
Do you agree with his comments? Just so everyone knows, the comments were that Ben Hunt wouldn't be the Brisbane halfback before the end of the year, that he'd get dropped, essentially.
No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, neither do I.
but I also don't believe Ben Hunt is worth, what is it, $1.2 million?
Yeah. A year, is that what he got?
I think so. I might be wrong, but I think it's pretty close.
No, whatever he did get, I know I didn't agree with it. I can't remember what it was, but I didn't agree. I think
it's the Dragons clutching at straws. That's what it is.
Absolutely. I actually think Ben Hunt is a fantastic player, but I don't think he's worth that at all. That's the top tier kind of players at the moment. He's not there. He's, I think, based off last season, he's not worth that money. He's potentially worth that money. I know that sounds weird, but based off last season, he should have gotten offered less than that, really. But they needed to sign him. So.
Yeah, they needed a halfback.
Josh McCrone.
That is true.
42-10.
The Cowboys should have signed Ben Hunt. He's pretty good at winning the game for them.
There you go.
We'll chuck our boom-boom-booch in there. All right, I think that's enough recap. We've covered them all. So let's move on to free talk. Ooh, a new segment. I'm going to throw to you on this one, Mac. What do you got to kick us off?
All right, I want to talk about the off-season rule changes, not only on the field, but things like Teamless Tuesday and things like that, the changes that we've seen to that. So for anyone that doesn't know, teams now name a 21-man squad a day before kickoff. It gets cut down to 19 players, and then the usual thing where it gets cut down to the 17 before the kickoff. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's something. If we're yet to see what's going to come from it, but it is a good kind of... it's not going to change the game of rugby league at all.
Yeah.
It may be in small, tiny increments because it will help teams that are playing Bulldogs, because that's pretty much why they brought it in. I like to call it the Dez rule. Yeah, look, I like it. I like the NRL has actually taken a bit of a stance and they've put more solid rules into play.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little bit more interesting. We've got some more to check up on during the week to see what's coming up for the games.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's neither here nor there. Honestly, if it never had come about, I would not have even realised it was a problem.
Okay.
I think that it's just an example of the NRL wanting to do something but neglecting to do the things that people actually care about.
That's a fair point.
So they want to make a rule change and they go to the least dramatic rule possible instead of dealing with the problems that fans actually really care about.
What's the problem?
Oh, the bunker is probably the biggest one.
You just brought that in last year.
Yeah, and look how many problems it caused.
Look how many problems it's happening before.
I think, for me, I'm the other way around. I think it's a way of the NRL, because I was quite vocal about this last year, saying it's really annoying seeing...
We both were.
Yeah, exactly. On the podcast. Yeah, yeah. It's like, what's the point of naming a team on Tuesday if you're just going to change the entire team?
We're trying to do a podcast. <That's>
But yeah, no. For me, it kind of felt like the NRL was listening to some of the fans, and it was a out of left field one, something that people were saying, we want this to be changed, but they weren't really pandering for it. And I thought it was a nice change and something that I appreciate.
And I'm not saying that it doesn't have a good reason. Yeah. I'm not saying that the change wasn't warranted.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, would it have made any difference to you one way or the other if they hadn't have done it?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, we did. We
other than your podcast.
My fantasy football team gets screwed over every week.
Because, it's more a frustration. Like I said, it doesn't change the sport of rugby league, obviously. Mm. But it helps fans out a little bit more. And also helps out teams that are playing the Bulldog. No, look, I like it. Okay, it doesn't hurt anyone.
No, and it
makes the NRL stand up a little bit and say this is the rule.
Growing up, I used to love Teamless Tuesday. I was like so excited for it. Seeing any changes,
seriously, on Monday, I think that's you were so excited.
I was,
Monday.
Yeah, going to work. I was like, yes, but it lost its specialness after coaches just basically abused the system. So,
look, I think we're quick to criticize the NRL, for everything negative that happens, which is multiple things a week.
Yeah.
But we're very slow to commend them when they do something positive. And I think this is a positive. It's a small thing, but it's something that you wouldn't have expected them to do, but they did.
Yeah.
That's to be fair, if you weren't criticizing the NRL for everything, this podcast would just be, how good was the NRL this week? Yes, I think it was good.
Ian, moving along from that point, what's your criticism of the NRL?
No, the other big one was the fine system that's been brought in, as opposed to a suspension. So I think that's a huge one. It's obviously been done from a lot of backlash last season.
I like to say that Andrew Voss was a key advocate for that. And I thought he really definitely made that come into at least the NRL's viewpoint.
And you know what I think the best thing about it is, and we hear so much about it in the media, is that the players hate it. And I think that's fantastic, because if the players hate it, that means they clearly don't want to lose money, because that's probably one of the most valuable things to them.
Yeah.
So they might actually stop being idiots on the field and doing dumb things.
But it also just means we don't have to go through this stupid saga we go through every... I'm going to say the word I didn't want to say this podcast, but I'm going to say it. Look, I'm not going to say it. Okay, back on what I just said. There's a particular period during the year where the judiciary really comes into play. We all know what we're talking about, around round 12, 13.
Ends with gym.
Okay, and there's always at least one or two, cases of the judiciary that come into play, and everyone talks about so much for a stupid little incident that's going to rub someone out of a big game.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's really important.
Yeah.
And it's not like a dramatic fine. Like, what's $1,500 to these guys who are on, $900,000 a year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, depends on how good they are with their money, but
don't trip people.
Don't get people pregnant.
Again.
That's twice.
I mean, it did happen twice.
No, I think it's a fantastic thing from the NRL. I think a great initiative from them. Everyone's been calling for it. They've listened to people. There was a fan forum, online fan forum, in the off season that asked those questions. Specifically, everyone obviously answered in the positive towards it, And they did it. Great.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Todd.
There you go. Well done,
Mr. Greenberg.
Okay. Well, my point that I sort of came up with today while I was watching the Warriors Knights game is that the Warriors have built this really great team and they have so much talent in the team, but I realized one thing. I don't think the Warriors will ever win a comp until they have a world-class coach. And I'm talking about, like, you know, Wayne Bennett in his prime kind of coach. Stephen Kearney, you know...
He did win a World Cup.
Oh, yeah, because it's hard to coach an international football
team. Does that not make you a world-class?
That's a separate point in its own that I don't believe people like Stephen Kearney and Mal Meninga are particularly great coaches. Like, who couldn't coach that Queensland team to 8 straight victories?
I probably couldn't.
I feel like you could. I feel like you're underselling yourself a little bit.
All right. Just for those at home, he has known Mac for longer than a week. Which is also, it's a strange comment for him to make. Because he absolutely could not coach Queensland to 10.
I just don't believe a guy like Stephen Kearney, even though, again, he's probably a really great guy, he's probably really good at the
podcast. We're so quick to dismiss criticising people on this podcast.
Well, I don't want them to listen to the podcast and be like, they hate me.
He has feelings.
I just don't think he's good enough to take the Warriors to a premiership, regardless of the quality of team they have.
Mm. I mean, I get the point, but I don't agree with the substance, because he is a world-class coach. He's an amazing coach, Stephen Kearney, I believe. I think he's a really, really solid coach. And I mean, they've gotten rid of
Andrew McFadden. Is this based on his time with the Eels?
It's based on the fact that he's coached the New Zealand team to a World Cup, which I think was actually a really...
There was two choices. There was him or David Kidwell.
It doesn't matter. He still got them there. Plus, he won them a Four Nations as well.
And by the way, I do see David Kidwell around my house every now and then. Please don't beat me up.
Around your house?
Not at my house. Just in the area around my house.
No, I think Stephen Kearney actually is a very solid coach. Yeah, he also spent a long time at Melbourne as their assistant coach. And I think if you've coached under Craig Bellamy for any period of time, you're going to be a good coach. I think anything that you know, any scraps you can get off that guy are going to be valuable, because he's one of the best coaches of all time. So, yes, I agree that they won't win the premiership until they have a world-class coach, but they do have a world-class coach now, and I think he's probably the best coach they've had since Ivan Cleary.
I think that's probably the point I disagree with. I honestly don't believe he could be that great a coach. Considering the New Zealand team has been pretty sensational, like in talent-wise, for a number of years now. And they beat Australia that often.
They haven't. New Zealand's been very unlucky. New Zealand doesn't have great depth, but when they have their first, like their full-strength side, they are actually an amazing side. But that side rarely plays international football.
Well, the last World Cup final, they had their full side on the park, from what I can remember, and they got absolutely smashed.
See, I don't think they did. I can't remember. I can't think about it right now, but I'm pretty sure they're at least missing a couple of players. I don't know if Isaac Luke was playing. But anyway, that's here, not here nor there. But I agree, but I do think this is a year they have him. But I also agree with the point that I don't think they'll win the premiership.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say on that, Mac?
No, I'm done.
All right. One of my points, funnily enough, it came up today. It's not really, I don't know, it's not about necessarily the sport of rugby league or anything, but it's more so Sydney games. So there's a lot of games played in Sydney every week. All three of us live in Sydney, have quite some time now. We see a lot of games played at ANZ Stadium. There's a lot of games played at Allianz Stadium. We see the Roosters don't get anybody to their crowd, to their games, because they have a terrible following in terms of...
Ouch, Roosters.
In terms of... Like they have feelings.
Yeah, true.
And then obviously ANZ, even if you get a good crowd there, there's still going to be a ton of empty seats, because it holds way too many people. So I guess my overall point is, someone asked me today if I was going to go to the game on, I think it's Thursday night, possibly Friday, I think it's Thursday, the Bulldogs versus the Roosters. And I said, I mean, my first reaction is, oh yeah, I should go to that game. But then I think about it and I think, I don't know if I really care to go to it, which is weird, because you take me a few years back when I first moved to Sydney and I really, really wanted to go to all games. You know, I was kind of absorbing it as much as I can. Now that I've been in Sydney for a little while, it's really just kind of tired me out going to games. So do you see any, I don't know where I'm going with this. Yeah, I'm just trying to make, a general point of, the NRL has a real problem with having so many games played at ANZ and games played at Allianz with nobody there. I think it completely kills any atmosphere a game has. And I don't really see any benefits to going to a game over watching it on TV. TV is a lot more comfortable. You're in your lounge room. You get all the views. You get the replays. In some cases, you get the commentary, which you enjoy. Beers are cheaper. Food's cheaper. Why go to a game at ANZ or Allianz when you can just watch it on TV? And I guess that's just my point. As a passionate football fan that does like to go to a lot of games.
Whilst I wholeheartedly agree with your ANZ point, because I hate ANZ Stadium, I think it's more of a rugby league point in general, because I just don't think rugby league demands the same crowds as some other sports do. Like, I'll use AFL, even though I don't think it's a fair comparison, but AFL just gets crazy crowds to their games. And I think that in itself is the reason to go to a game. You get that amazing atmosphere. You know, yeah, you're going to pay $700 for a beer, but, you know, you're with like 70,000 people who are all like screaming and cheering and singing and stuff. And I think that would be the main reason I'd want to go to a game. And I just don't think rugby league cares about the fans enough to present them an opportunity to have atmospheres like that. And I think that's the biggest problem overall.
A few counterpoints to that. Well, I mean, we were kind of agreeing there anyway, but okay, let's just compare, say, the MCG to ANZ Stadium, for instance. MCG's in the city, easier to get to for fans, easier to go out after the game, which everyone wants to do on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
The MCG, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, they reduced all their prices for beer and food. It's still not, obviously not cheap, but I think beer was something like $6.50 or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they did reduce their prices. AFL is also a game that it's a lot better to watch live.
Absolutely.
It's on an oval field. There's a lot more field to cover. The ball goes back and forward a lot. It's better to see what's coming, sort of the next play, to be able to see ahead. Rugby league is very much a straight line game. The ball is going across the field in a straight line. So rugby league is a lot easier to watch on the TV. And I guess in that point, what I'm trying to make is that the NRL needs to see this and they need to give fans a reason to go to games. And ANZ Stadium is not a reason to go to a game. Allianz, okay. It's mostly Roosters fans. They're just terrible at turning up to games. Allianz is actually a pretty good stadium to go to. It's near the city. It's a good stadium to watch in, good atmosphere, even if it's a small crowd. So that's mostly on Roosters fans, that problem. It's not really on the NRL. But the NRL, they're playing even more games at ANZ this year because of Parramatta Stadium getting demolished. I think they've just got to come a point where they realise that they're losing fans by playing there. You're not able to, someone comes from overseas, interstate, whatever, they're staying with you. You don't go, let's go out to ANZ and see a game. And if they're not a rugby league fan, they're not going to be won over if they go out there and watch the game. You don't go out there and go, that was an amazing experience. If your team wins, you come back happy. Yeah. If your team wins, you think, what a waste of a night.
I think there's been a huge opportunity missed putting a rectangular, amazing stadium in the Moore Park precinct. Like, I know Allianz is there, but it's a bit old, and, like, they had a chance to really build quite a steep rectangular stadium if, you know, obviously it was more the New South Wales government than the NRL, but I feel like they should have pushed more for that because I think it really could have got a lot more people into the game because then you'd have that situation, like you were saying, where people could say, let's go to the game tonight, you know, on short notice.
The problem, I think, is the NRL needs to realise that they're not going to get bigger crowds than 20,000 to 25,000 in Sydney. Like, that's just how it is. There's so many Sydney teams, there's a lot more to do in Sydney. So people aren't going to necessarily go out there. They've got to realise that, I know that all the teams get this money from playing at ANZ, but like I said before about the long-term gains, say, you know, going back to that 6 o'clock kickoff, you've got to look at the long-term payoff rather than the short-term payoff. They're not gaining fans by playing at ANZ Stadium. You don't take a person to ANZ Stadium on a Friday night with 20,000 people, 60,000 empty seats, and they become a fan of rugby league. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. You don't have the atmosphere. You don't have the excitement. So they're not going to go, well, I'm now a rugby league fan. I'm going to spend money in the future. They're going to go, well, that was an experience. I'll probably forget about it.
Yeah, I think adult tickets to a lot of games are around $30 each. Mm. And then you have food price on top of that. So economically, it just makes no sense for
fans. Which you'll be willing to pay if you have a great experience. Oh, yeah, for a night out. If you go out in the city, you go to a club or bar, whatever, you can pay $100 for a night out.
Mm.
And you're like, you get drunk, whatever. Sorry if you don't get drunk. You're listening to this podcast. But you go out and you do what you do and you pay money. but you're okay with paying that money because you've had a great night, you've had a great experience, you'll have those memories.
Yeah.
You won't have that at a rugby league game at ANZ Stadium on a Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not willing to pay that money.
I also think Sydney siders just seem to have this thing where they don't like doing anything. Like, and I, just from my experience, I've lived in Sydney for maybe about 8 years now, maybe 7 or 8 years, and I would say that it just, it's very hard to get someone to do something on a weeknight, so Thursday night, Friday night, footy.
Yep.
And on the weekend, generally people have other things to do. So as you say, going to the footy where you spend a lot of money compared to going and doing something with friends that, you know, other people that aren't interested in football, you're always almost definitely going to choose to do the non-football related thing, which is sad.
Well, I can personally agree with that because, I mean, I'm a huge football fan and I can't be bothered going on to any of the games, especially at ANZ Stadium. I hate going to ANZ Stadium.
Look, I've got a Bulldogs membership. I've had one for many years now. I didn't go to one game at ANZ Stadium last year that was a Bulldogs home game as part of my membership. I'll still keep the membership because I like to support the club, whatever, but I'm not going to... They're just not enjoyable to go to. I'd rather sit at home, have my friends around, have some beers and watch it at home than actually go out there to the game because it's just not that fun.
Yeah, so the question is, what's the answer? Like, what do you do?
Stop playing at ANZ Stadium.
Yeah, but
that's the number one answer.
But you also made the point that you're just never going to get more than 20,000 people at a game in Sydney.
That's
okay.
No, but that's okay. That's okay. All you got to do is play it at the small stadiums. Play them. This new Parramatta Stadium, I think, is made to be about 30,000. So they should focus on that. Hopefully the Bulldogs, West Tigers, Parramatta start playing there. Take these games away from ANZ Stadium. That is the worst thing. If I could change one thing about the NRL right now, no games at ANZ Stadium outside of the blockbusters. If the crowd isn't going to be 40 to 50,000 plus, do not play it at ANZ Stadium.
I think financially, though, it doesn't work well for the NRL. I think there's definitely...
It's not the NRL, it's the teams.
Yeah.
But you look at the teams that are playing there. Bulldogs, one of the richest clubs in the game. Mm. They don't necessarily need it. Plus, my point is, it's the long-term investment.
Yeah, of course.
How many more fans are you going to bring in if they go to a game? I made this point a few times now. Let's say there's someone, they're not particularly a rugby league fan. Let's say someone comes over from America. Okay, you've got a person coming over here. They're on a visa to stay for a year, possibly longer. Their first experience is they go to ANZ on a Friday night. There's 20,000 people there, 60,000 empty seats.
Mm.
It's a dreary night. It's cold. We've been there, even it's freezing cold.
No, it's horrible.
It's just a metal jungle. They watch a game. It's an okay game.
Yeah.
They go, yeah, that was fun, whatever. They're not going to come back. You take them to somewhere like, look, Leichhardt, I don't know, Belmore, this new Parramatta Stadium. Fantastic atmosphere. They have fun. The game seems better. Public transport's better, blah, blah, blah. They go, that was great. Let's go back again. They go back a few more times. They want to get a membership. They want to buy the jersey, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think there's more money in that long-term investment than there is for this money that they get for just playing at ANZ Stadium. They can make fans for life, which is, I mean, how do you put money on that?
Absolutely.
So I think, I just think there's a better long-term goal than there is those short-term getting these smaller crowds to ANZ Stadium. Or maybe I'm wrong. I probably am, but who cares? okay, that was my point. We've all gone around. Does anyone have any more points?
No, I think I've pretty much already covered all mine.
All right, I'll bring one more up. We've kind of touched on it a few times. At least I have the Bryce Cartwright story. What do we think about that? I'll pass to you on this one, Mac.
I think it's been covered up very nicely. Like on the
until now.
Stages. Yeah, yeah. I didn't actually realize it had come out in the news more so. And I was on the way over with Drew and he pointed it out to me. But
it's the front of the news today.
How's
the paper.
It being portrayed? Is it being portrayed as him as being
exactly.
a bad guy? Or?
Oh, look, it's interesting though. It's kind of mixed. I think it depends on what news you go to.
There are two things that sort of made my ears sort of spruik up a bit today. And the first one is that I heard that the girl they interviewed on Channel 7, they said that she is a casual Channel 7 employee.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I knew about this story like 6 months ago.
Well, that's the funny thing.
And it's only now coming to light. Like, why?
I think that's the most important point is that this was brought up in the start of the off-season.
Yeah.
Whether it's Feel Good's connections, which squashed it all and quietened down, or the news realizing that the football season was over.
Yeah.
No one's going to care. Let's wait until the first round.
Yeah.
It can't be. It's too convenient.
But even the journalists on Twitter were extremely hush-hush about it. And then I saw today that Buzz Rothfield said that he didn't want to talk about it because it was too sensitive an issue. And I'm thinking to myself, You're a sports journalist. Yeah, you live for these.
And they don't seem to shy away from any story.
Yeah, you think about the Kieran Foran stuff last year.
Exactly. They touch on... I mean, look, there's a lot of journalists that are pretty respectful. And I think Buzz is actually a fairly respectful guy in a lot of stories. There's a lot of journalists that you think...
But a big story is a big story.
Yeah. No, look, it is. And this one isn't even that sensitive. I mean, it is what it is. It's not that big of a deal. But there's, you know, mental illness and stuff. And a lot of them kind of don't really touch on it. But this one, that's why I think it's kind of interesting that they all were hush-hush about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why I thought it was a bit strange that it's actually come to light now.
I think it's hard to say who's in the wrong as well. Like, from my understanding of the story is that he got two girls pregnant, I think.
Two,
I believe it's two. One
must have come
out. No, I think it was with one when he got the other one pregnant, or something like that. I don't want to give out facts that are incorrect, but and he's given them money to say go away or go and have an abortion, and we'll see you later, sort of thing. And it just, I guess it's a horrible thing. But I always ask the question: if he wasn't a sports player, would this be such a big deal? And is it a very personal matter that it shouldn't even be spoken about? Like, I don't think it is a big enough story to be made this huge, in my opinion.
No, and I feel like it's an incredibly personal story. Yeah. You know, like, I actually, when that Wayne Bennett story came out at the end of last season about his, you know, personal life.
Oh, the divorce.
Everyone talked about it for about 30 seconds, and then everyone turned around and went, hang on a second, this actually has nothing to do with anything. Let's just give him his privacy.
But does that, I don't know if that ever matters.
No, but I think it should.
It should. Oh, I agree, it should, but it never seems to matter.
It's sort of like, I'm kind of deliberately not reading too much about it, because I don't want to know. I just want him to be a football player.
Yeah.
I don't care about his personal life. Like,
I'm interested in the fact that it's come out now.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
That's what I'm interested in. Not the story. I don't care about the story.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's a football player. Do whatever you want to do in your personal life. Who the hell cares?
After what you just said then about the fact that they've waited, I think there's something to that, because, you know, that's classic journalism. Wait until the most opportune time and then bring something up.
Yeah. But I also, back in whenever it was, you know, September, October, November, there was a lot of people saying that Phil Gould has that many connections that he shut the story down.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is true. Okay, I've got a couple more here, so I'm going to bring them up. Right. What do we think about the whole Ponga Hunt contract scenario? You know, it's been happening in league for a while, but also, obviously...
Tohu Harris as well.
Yeah, Tohu Harris. So, obviously, they've signed a contract for next year, but they're still playing for their current teams. Yep. What do we think about that? Can we change it at all?
Don't like it.
I hate it. I think it's horrible. I think it ruins rugby league in many ways. It's stupid watching it. Like, being a supporter and seeing your team have a guy on there, it's not going to be there next year. It's kind of like, what about if there's a young guy behind them that's really showing off or something? You want to be able to give them their chance. It's just, I think it's silly. I think the way to fix it is to try and set a transfer period that's set in stone, preferably in the off-season. I know, obviously, we have quite a short off-season, so it's difficult to put it in there, but it doesn't make sense. A whole year, you know?
But I also don't technically like the idea of... you know, a transfer period outside of the season, because like, you finish a season, you kind of know who's going to be in your team next year, and I feel like over the sort of summer, the cricket period, you don't want that chopping and changing too much, if you know what I mean. But with the, I do agree with your first point, I don't like it in the way that I think it's quite demoralizing, not for the players or the team, but for the fans, because like, how can you be a Brisbane fan and like enjoy watching Ben Hunt like really thrive this year? Like, say he goes to completely new heights, and you think, oh, this is great, and then you think, oh wait, it's not that great, because next year he's going to be playing for a different team. You know, I think it's the fans that sort of suffer in that situation. Because I think players can get over it, because I mean, his teammates would be like, oh dude, you got offered $1.2 million. Like, if I was you, I'd take it.
Everyone's going to take that. Yeah.
The trouble for me is I don't know what the answer is.
I love looking at the NFL. A model where they had this gigantic off season with the draft and everything like that, And like as a fan of the NFL, I find that to be a spectacle in itself. You know, it's almost more exciting than the season at times. You know,
but how does the draft, how does that affect this? Like the draft isn't
the draft. I just mean like they have a free agency period of about a couple of months or something like that. And
but they're not free agents at this point because their contracts are up. So you want them to be able to run their contract out until the end of this year, and then they become free agents. Exactly.
I think the Players Association would have some issue with that because it's like leaving their career and their life up in.
I think the players in the NFL probably would agree that they don't like that system, a lot of them, because, I mean, at least in the NFL, they're playing for such big money. They're playing for money that if they never played again, it wouldn't matter because they've already got millions of dollars. Whereas the NFL, or the NRL, you might have players that are on $200,000. If they don't know if they have a job next year, that's a pretty big deal for them.
Definitely. But on the flip side of that is the top players, the marquee players, bidding war stuff for those guys. So they actually end up getting more money out of it.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, you have to have the same rule for everyone. It'd be hard to have that for the lower-level players.
I definitely get it.
What do you think about this? What about you can't sign a contract until after May and before September or after.
But this is getting back to what they used to have. Used to have something like that. That creates problems mid-season, which is probably worse than actually having them sign at the start of the year, which is actually not too bad.
But what problems does it cause other than like the players being distracted and stuff? They're going to be distracted. That's the year. Yeah, but they're going to be distracted anyway, unless you go for
because these two guys signed before the start of the year, and Tope Harris all started before the start of the year, so they can clear their head before round one. Round one, it's all decided. Look at someone like Trent Hodgkinson a couple of years back when he left the Dogs. Didn't have contract worked out until the end of the season. And he had arguably his worst season for the Dogs in 2015. So that creates big problems, I think.
But for some people, that makes them play better because they're playing for a contract. Like, I remember Corey Hughes. I can't remember what year it was, but there was a year where Corey Hughes was trying to win a Bulldogs contract, and he played his best football he played in, like, 10 years that year.
Of course, but Corey Hughes is not... like that. That's probably the case for some players if they're a lower-level player who is actually playing to keep their career alive or to boost their career. Where guys like Hunt and Ponga, they're already considered sort of top-notch signing. Sure, Ponga's only played one game, but, you know, everyone's calling him a superstar of the future. So you've got clubs coming at him. So it's not like they're playing for a contract. They're just trying to work out if they want more money or want to stick with their club. But like I said, it's a hard one.
It's a tough one. I don't think there's an answer that's going to fix any issues.
I mean, at least I haven't heard one. Who knows? I'm sure Wayne Bennett has one. He seems to have a lot of answers in this regard. Try and get him on the podcast for you. Okay, I got a couple more points. I'm going to just make them.
All
right. Auckland Nines.
Yeah.
What do we think? I don't want to talk about what actually happened in the Auckland Nines. Who cares? But what do we think of the Auckland Nines?
I'm getting over the spectacle a little bit, personally. Vossi had a really good point as well that next year is the World Cup.
Yeah.
So we can't really have the Nines on alongside that. Like, well, they can, but it's going to really ruin it because a lot of the top class players will be at the World Cup.
Oh, but it's not going to be a lot. Why would it be? The World Cup's not going to be at the end of the year, at the start of the year. The World Cup's going to be... Isn't the World Cup this year? The World Cup's at the end of this year, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the point is that they're going to get burnt out.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you've got that anyway.
Hold players because they're like, yeah, but that doesn't make... For example, hold players back to play international football. It's just, it's going to be harder for...
Like, yeah, obviously, but I mean, that happens every year anyway because you've got the players, the teams that make the grand final, the teams, and then the players that go on the tours, the Four Nations and stuff like that anyway.
Look, I've personally never particularly... love the Nines. I would never go out of my way to watch it. I know I didn't this year. I know I had the chance to watch it. I decided to do something else. I can't remember what.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I actually
must have been good.
But I just think...
should have watched the
Nines. I honestly think it's not that entertaining to me. I mean, it's not like... It's not like scintillating.
Would it be more exciting for you if it was in Sydney? Would you go to it?
Maybe one year, but I wouldn't go every year.
No. I'm talking about next year. Let's say next year it's in Sydney. Would you go?
If I was free, maybe.
What are you gonna?
I wouldn't.
What is in your calendar for February 2 next year?
I don't plan my calendar that far ahead.
So,
do you have an iPhone? You know, it's got a calendar.
I watched more of the Nines this year because I was in Adelaide and there's nothing to do in Adelaide. And I felt
Adelaide
like
Nines.
Exactly. Yeah.
Should Adelaide have another team?
There you go. Bring the Rams back. That's what I say.
But yeah, no, I felt like it was good, but you really just, you you get burnt out from 2 days of footy like straight.
And all this weekend, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's really true. Yeah,
like nobody actually cares. I love it's a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
Would you care more if it was at night time?
Not really.
I'd care more if it was at night time. Okay.
No.
If it was shown over a couple of hours at night time, I think as a TV viewer, people I think would care more. I think it starts way too early. Mm. The Sunday session I think starts at 10 o'clock here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's just way too early.
I just think everything we do in this country that's like trying to be like the next big thing, like entertainment wise, is just so far off the mark. Like you've got the NBA All-Stars and that kind of thing, and that's a fantastic spectacle. And I think we just try so hard to have something like that. And maybe that's the answer.
I think it's more the NRL just trying to keep the season long. That's really what it is.
To be fair, like, you know, the Auckland Nines is in the middle. Well, not in the middle, but it's at the end of the cricket season. I'm still in cricket mode. I'm still watching the cricket. I don't really care about rugby league.
Absolutely.
Would you care more if they started adding Super League teams or even intra Super Premiership teams or anything like that?
No.
No?
I'd care a little bit more, but
maybe if there was like an FFA style thing where, let's say, the Doggies would play against the Tweedhead Seagulls. I'd be interested in that. I would watch that.
But would you care at the end of January, start of February? Because you just made the point that you're still in cricket season. Yeah. So would you care then?
Probably not. And I know I said this to you the other day that it took me until like halfway through last week before I actually got excited about the NRL season.
Mm.
Because I'm still in cricket mode. I mean, I'm still watching the cricket. But, you know, it's like, I don't care about the NRL in February.
Yeah. No, look, I think most people don't really care. I think they approved this year, and then even in Auckland they don't care because they got half the crowd they got last year. So I think it's probably on its way out. But I do think the NRL needs some pre-season competition in some way. All right. I think that will do for free talk. I think we've talked about enough.
Actually, I had one more though. I realized.
Sorry,
here we go.
This better be good.
All right. How good? No. All right. So off-season bans, the gambling and the drugs. So the most notable ones are Tim Simona and Jared Mullen. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Too harsh or not?
Well, we don't know yet about Mullen, do we? We don't know what he's got yet.
I'm not sure. I thought he got a couple of years.
Didn't his second sample come back positive?
But I don't think he's actually... Has it been given? I don't think he's been given a ban yet, but he will be banned.
He's not playing for his club this season.
He definitely should be banned.
I feel bad for the guy, but he should be banned.
I don't feel bad for him. He's an idiot. If he took the drugs, he knew about
it. I feel bad for him in the way that...
I feel bad that he plays for the Knights.
I feel bad for him in the way that I think he took the drugs to try and make himself not get injured so often.
Have you seen his arms? Who thought that he wasn't on steroids? Like, I just figured he was.
That brings me to the point. He looked like humans.
He looked like he has two grown adult humans on his arms.
Either Wes Nagama has eaten his weight in protein powder throughout the off-season.
Yeah.
Or he's on something, because have you seen the size of his arms?
I didn't see that.
I didn't know he was still
around. I didn't even know he was either.
You mean Kevin the Glamour, right?
Are you talking about Kevin from the Tigers?
Yes.
What competition are you watching?
My friend called him the Fresh Prince the other day, because apparently he looks like Will Smith.
He's been called that for years.
Really?
No, look, I think... To go back to serious discussion. Mullen, he deserves it. If he took it and he knew it, he deserves it.
What about Tim Simona?
Simona absolutely deserves it.
Yeah.
Life ban is a huge, huge thing, but he's probably done, in terms of off-field stuff relating to rugby league, he's done the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Bet against himself and his team? Come on. How can you do that? How can anyone ever play with him again and be confident in him? He's a centre. You know how much pressure centres are on to defend? It's like one-on-one a lot of the time.
The NRL has to make a stand.
Absolutely.
They need to be.
They did.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an
they haven't yet.
It was meant to be on Friday.
He hasn't faced the NRL yet.
Yeah. No, I think he will. That's what word on the street is saying.
It'd be surprising if he wasn't now.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, is there anything worse that you can do off-field as a regular player?
The thing that confuses me about the whole situation is that I never really saw Tim Simona not try his hardest in a game.
Yeah.
It's not like that Brett Stewart situation where he, like, dove over the ball.
He absolutely, there's absolutely something.
That's a different story.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty much the same story.
But
he didn't get caught. Like, forced retirement.
I try to watch most of the Tigers games because I like them as a team. And I just can't remember watching Tim Simona play when I didn't think, oh, he's having a go.
So what you're saying is he should be getting an acting award. Because he clearly acted fantastic.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Maybe he just didn't back himself as a player.
And one thing I heard Wendell Saylor say on the radio the other night is, what if he just chucked $20 on it? Like,
yeah.
If he chucked $20 on it, is that worth a life ban?
Absolutely. I think
any ban.
To try and set that up, particularly as JC was saying, it's that whole letting in a... like, the confidence you have in your team. You know, right there and then you've said... Oh, I'm gonna let them score. I'm gonna try and go against myself and my team.
So what you're saying is that's the reason the Tigers haven't won the premiership in the last couple of years.
It's definitely the exact reason.
But you know, the other thing is that we like there's a whole Simona thing, and that's fine. But who is he told that he's gonna let these players in?
Mm.
The NRL has no way of actually finding that out.
That's true.
Imagine if he's told a mate that he's gonna let someone in, and they've put $1,000 on it or something.
True.
You know, something that maybe you know might not stick out. Mm. For the betting places, but you never know. You never know the extent of it. But I don't think if it was in my teammate, I don't think there's much worse you can do. I mean, probably one of the worst things you can think of is someone not trying their hardest. And he hasn't tried his hardest, and he's bet against himself. So that's just terrible.
The Tim Simona thing got me Googling over the weekend, and I came across the Ryan Tandy incident. And one thing that I've forgotten is that he deliberately gave away that penalty in front of the sticks.
That's right.
And then they scored a try. Because he bet for the penalty goal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then they scored a try. So, feel gutted.
And that's the reason the Bulldogs aren't going very well anymore.
Yeah. That's why 2017 is a write-off for the Bulldogs.
Yeah. All right. I think that will do for talking points, unless there's a late, last-minute submission again.
What do you got, Mac?
All right, so we're going to move on to everyone's favourite segment. Oh, here we go.
Sorry,
no.
I was joking.
Going to do that again. Let's move on to everyone's favourite segment. Who am I? Returning again.
That's right.
2017. 2 years strong now. So Mac's going to run the show. For those playing at home that haven't played before, Mac has picked a player or a coach that has played or coached in the last 10 years. They must have played or coached over 100 first grade games as well. Drew and I are going to be playing this week. We've only got one guess. If we guess and we're wrong, we're out. If we guess and we're right, we win.
Exactly. All right, let's kick us off with clue number one. I made my debut in 2001 and scored a try on debut. I'm a one club player. I played over 300 games in the NRL. In my career, I scored 1,328 points. I won one premiership in my career. So that's five. I'll give you guys a little bit of time to think. If you want me to go through them again, let me know.
And just so Drew knows, the record was three?
I think so, yeah, three. Yeah, yeah, set by someone.
I'm not sure who said
that. Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah, I can't.
I know it wasn't you.
Oh, I guess.
So I'm not sure.
Okay,
well, I don't want to guess. I can't speak for Drew, but I don't want to guess right now.
Do you guys want to hear them again?
Yeah, have a cheeky go.
You
want
to hear them go? Okay. I made my debut in 2001 and scored a try debut. I'm a one club player. I played over 300 games in the NRL. In my career, I scored 1,328 points and I won one premiership in my career. Just so you guys know, the buzzers work the same as the other game as well, where you have to yell out your name.
I would like to say,
yeah,
if I get it wrong,
you're out.
I'm out for the whole thing?
Out for the whole thing, the entire season. No, just
you're out for this game, yeah. And then I obviously would need to get it to win,
okay. Or else I win.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I had an illustrious representative career, which included 19 games for the Maroons, 2 games for the Provinces 13, 13 games for Australia, and 1 game for the All-Stars. In 2013, I was awarded the International Lock of the Year. I have played lock, second row, and prop. In my final season with the Brisbane Broncos, I officially captained the side.
Corey Parker.
Yeah.
JC.
There you go.
Oh, I didn't realise I had to do the name thing again.
I did say that like 5 seconds ago.
JC.
Unfortunately, I have to.
Well, that's a default.
We have to follow the rules.
Would you like to have a guess?
To be fair, we were going to say it at the same time. Corey Parker.
That is correct. The final clue, just in case you guys didn't get it there, was jokes are often made about my grey hair. There you go. The end, and you guys
Silver got Fox.
It. Not to point it out, yeah, but yeah. Drew did lose his first two games from the golden point.
I'd like to That's point right. out, I did have the answer right
in
that last game.
Well, we both had the answer right.
Well, I was first.
Well, you didn't say your name. So.
It's kind of like how the Storm won premierships. They kind of did, but they didn't really.
Yeah, you, may have Cameron Smith's face.
You may have known the answer, but you didn't know your own name.
I'm not scared of Cameron Smith. yeah.
Well, that's Who Am I? Yeah. And that's the podcast done for this week. So our first podcast of 2017. How do we think it all went?
Yeah, good.
How do we think Drew went?
It was good.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
welcome back.
That was Drew talking, just for anyone.
No,
I think he did well. Yeah, we might invite him back. We'll see how. We might have a poll up on the Twitter and see if they want him back or not.
There we go. Yeah.
It'd be a bit scary. I mean, who else should vote on it than the fans, our listeners, the people?
That's right.
The people.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Well, we got a fun round coming up, round two.
Yeah.
Our teams are, you know.
When you really think about it, losing in round one doesn't mean anything. And
unless you lose by 32 points.
Yeah. It's okay to lose by 32 points because you don't win premierships in March, right? You win them in September.
But you can start to lose them in March. All right. Well, that is our podcast done for this week. So check us out on Twitter at golden_point, I believe it is.
I think it's, something like that.
It's something like that. If not, just Google or just, search on Twitter, Golden Point. Give us a like and a subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rate and review because that bumps us up the list as well. Give us any feedback, only positive, please. And that will do. So
you will be hunted down if it's not positive, so keep that in mind.
Yes. It's also at the_golden_point.
The_golden_point. There you go. Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You've just listened to the Golden Point. Well done.